That's what I'm going to say.
You go.
See,
I'm learning.
Knows what to say.
I'm learning.
Are these folks absent? Okay.
Are you stuck in New York? Stuck in New York?
Yeah, he was probably got
delayed.
Oh. You get stuck someplace, so that's not a bad place to be stuck.
Well, I'm going there like after the election, so I think it's stuck too.
It'll be
that's right. Okay. Oh, that's right.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. There we go. Welcome, Portland City Council. Before we begin the official proceedings of the city, each week we invite young people in to talk to us about issues that are important to them. And we have some very special guests today from Outside In. It's a local organization that works to build success and opportunities for homeless youth. And I'm very honored to introduce the group this morning. And so if you folks would come up, please, to the this seating up here, our speakers. Thank you for being here this morning. I really appreciate you coming in. And as each of you speak, if you would just state your name for the record. So anybody can begin.
Hi, my name is Brittany Stewart, and I attend PCC Sylvania, and I aspire to be a journalist.
Good. Did you want to make any statement?
Well, as a homeless youth, my biggest challenge is maintaining my academic status. But I can only do so much in terms of grades. Paying for college is a huge burden. And an issue I'd like to touch base with you on is the rising cost of tuition at Sylvania. There are student movements happening in protest of the rising costs, and I'd like to see some support from our city and county representatives.
What are they doing specifically, Brittany?
Well, the ASPCC at our school, student government, they're petitioning, and there are measures that they want, you know, us to vote on, and we're just trying to get as much backing as possible to hopefully, you know, lower the price per credit hour. So the way it's been rising is, like, really insane, and there's a lot of, like, facts to back up, you know, that it doesn't need to be that high, so...
Can I ask your opinion? Next Tuesday, when we vote, we have a chance to vote on a bond measure for the community colleges locally. Do you have a position on that bond measure?
I do, but I'd like to have support of my students there also because we kind of, you know, we're together on everything. So I'm not as informed as the members of the ASPCC, but I am with them. So
you're urging a yes vote on the bond measure?
Thank you.
Nice to be able to do that, isn't it? I support that bond measure as well. Please.
I'm Ishta Zorman. I am working on getting into school, going to PCC for a business and business management degree, and attending Beaumont for a degree in aesthetics or cosmetology. The biggest issue that I find that we need support with is the fact of unbiased equal job opportunities for people who are transsexual and especially those who are transitioning from male to female. I'm currently looking for employment, but for the month and a half that I've been in Portland, I've been trying to find work at different retail stores and different, you know, places that I would like to actually pursue a career in. And I've noticed that because of my trans issue that they turn me away, even though I have 8 months of experience in working with cells. I have my GED, I'm former military, and I have a year of college underneath my belt, my studies including business and business management and pre-veterinary science. And I mean, it's really frustrating because I should be able to work anywhere with those skills. And it affects me majorly because, one, I have no money to support myself. I have no way of providing money for some of the prescriptions that I need or treatments that I want to provide myself with. And it also adds to the homeless problem or the homeless situation that a lot of people are trying to help with. And to my observation, out of the 40% of sexual minority homeless youth, 10 to 15% of those are people who are transsexual, whether male to female or female to male. And honestly, the best way to, I feel, to get this situation resolved is make policies where people cannot use, underline, discrimination or biased opinions to turn away somebody. Because, of the simple fact, some people like myself have the experience to do a job, but we're not given the chance because, people have either biased opinions or are uneducated about transsexualism. And also put more information out on the web, in the libraries, in schools especially, because, education starts at a young age. And if we can teach people from a young age, on the issues and ways to accept people like that, then, a lot of the ignorant problem, the ignorance on transsexualism will die down. So that's kind of what I have proposed so far. So,
have you ever been to the Q Center?
I have. I'm involved with I've been to the Q Center once. I'm involved with places like Smirk and Queer Zone, and I'm also trying to get involved with Bro and It's Our Time Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get involved with those as well, and I've done some stuff around that as well. So
good. Good. Well, all those organizations, I think, are devoted to helping folks in employment opportunities in other areas. So
right.
I'm glad that you've contacted them. They should be of assistance to you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Emily Terry. I've just finished my GED, and I'm going towards college. I would like to pursue a medical career somewhere. So 2 months ago, I wasn't motivated to do anything. I kind of accepted my homelessness. I came to Outside In and started going to their Employment Resource Center. I went through GED prep and job readiness training. Now I have my GED and some job skills. These programs like OI and ERC are really very effective. A lot of people are able to come through here and get their GEDs and get some job skills. Unfortunately, these programs are suffering from cuts in funding. I always hear people saying we can't do something because we don't have the money. If we could do more educational activities like maybe OMSI or go to the YMCA or something like that, it would get people interested in learning. Also, we have lost some of our favorite staff from staffing cuts. If these programs had more funding or support, it would help so many homeless youth. It would help us get the skills we need to get off the streets. We need to keep these programs properly funded. And I've seen a lot of people come through the ERC. They've gotten their GEDs and graduated from JRT. The biggest reason these programs work so well is because of the amazing teachers, tutors, and staff we have. They make learning fun and interesting. They could really use some more money so they can continue to help us succeed.
Those are very good points. And I really appreciate what Outside In and New Avenues for Youth and Janus Youth Programs do for our homeless folks. And I think you're good examples of folks beginning that transition out into the world and getting jobs and getting in your education. So I really respect you for that.
May I add something?
Yes.
I also want to thank you for taking time to come and share your thoughts with us this morning. And I want you to know how proud I am as your housing commissioner that we contract with Outside In. And they do a wonderful job. And I want to urge the community to support you again on November 14th. That's going to be a very exciting day in Portland when Gus Van Sant hosts the global premiere of the film Milk at the Arlene Schnitzer. And I reserved three tickets yesterday, but I understand tickets are going fast, so I would urge people to get their tickets to go see this film and to support Outside In and the good work that they do.
So thank you for being here. Let's give these folks a hand.
Thank you.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Fish.
Here.
Leonard. Saltzman.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 1447, request of Garrett Martin to address Council regarding bureaucracy and the lack of accountability.
Could you please sit down?
Do I have to?
Yes, you do. Thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
Garrett Martin.
And you have 3 minutes.
And what?
You have 3 minutes.
I know that.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm disappointed that Commissioner Adams isn't here today because my concerns relate to the Department of the Bureau of Environmental Services. And my concerns go back to the early, they go back to 2004 when I wrote to Commissioner Saltzman about the fact that my immediate neighborhood, which is on Northwest Saltzman in the Wellbridge, we were on septic tanks until 2000. I was the first, when the sewer was brought to Saltzman Road, I was the first person to go onto the sewer. The sewer was only brought up partway up the road due to the expense that the city said that it would cost to bring it any further. I started advocating because of the smell in my neighborhood, because of the septic tanks, which I understood were from years before that were marginal, to say the least. Probably because of Dan Saltzman's jurisdiction over the BES, my neighbors were required to go on sewer. They got notification that they were to connect by 12:07. Now there are only two of us who are connected, even though it's almost 2008. Now I have a letter that went to Commissioner Sam Adams. I don't know. I didn't expect to be nervous.
You're doing just fine.
I have a letter that went to him 3/26 of this year. And again, I've very detailed letter about, first of all, we're right on Saltzman Creek. And one of the properties, which I've been particularly concerned with, is right on that creek. And I'm worried about contaminated soil, but also contaminated water, which has been, there is fecal matter found in Saltzman Creek, and feeds the Willamette River just a short distance. I never received a response from Sam Adams' office or anybody else, and I've advocated Chris Collette of the Sewer Connection Program.
Your time is just about up. Could you wrap it up now? Your 3 minutes are gone. I just want to let you know.
Okay. Even though I've advocated with BES staff, I've talked to Matt Grum, I've talked to, Vicki Gradinsky, Chris Collette, numerous times. It's all documented in writing. They still, are really dragging things out with getting this one neighbor hooked up. And I think it's just way beyond time, and I'm sure you'll agree, Commissioner Saltzman. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that all the communications?
It is.
Okay. Since we don't have a quorum for the consent agenda and emergency items, we will hear the testimony today. The items will be voted on at the Thursday 2 p.m. City Council meeting.
Mayor, we just had a notice that Commissioner Leonard may be in by 10.
Okay, then we will hold off. I am, do commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda?
I'd like to pull
Okay, and likewise, I'm asking to pull item 1453. I'm referring this back to my office for further review. So we're going to move to the. Do any people in the audience wish to pull any particular item from the consent agenda? Okay. We'll move to the 9:30 time certain.
Item 1458, Portland Police Bureau Gang Resistance Education and Training Program.
Folks could come up. The Gang Resistant Education and Training, or GREAT, is a national curriculum designed to help middle school students become responsible members of their community. Since 1994, the Portland Police Bureau Drugs and Vice has delivered GREAT to school districts in Portland. A few months ago, Council received a report from the Interbureau Task Force in which they shared some of the inspiring work that Officer Ocasio has done with GREAT in the Cully neighborhood. When I recently learned about the work accomplished by GREAT in the 2007-08 school year, I asked that they brief City Council on the progress they've made to improve the livability of our community and the success of our youth. In 2007-08, in school, they touched the lives of over 2,800 individuals. They have 55 certified GREAT instructors and 29 certified in the family's curriculum. They've served three school districts, two private schools, and at 21 different locations. Over the years, they've made a difference in the lives of over 36,900 citizens of Portland. So I'd like to invite you folks up. Commander and Sergeant, please go ahead.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner Saltzman and Fish. We appreciate the opportunity to come before you this morning. My remarks will be very brief. I, along with my boss, Assistant Chief Brett Smith, and Commander Ferreras, who is on the GREAT National Policy Board, really just wanted to take the opportunity to recognize and commend the efforts of our local staff, Sergeant Bob Rigoni, Officer Mike Peressa, Narcissa Delgado Grubb, and Joanne Elliman Yana. Without these folks and our instructors, the successes you're going to hear about today would not be possible, and they are truly remarkable and exceptional individuals and well-deserving of our praise. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sergeant Gargoni, and he's going to move forward with the presentation.
Thank you, Commander. You did my whole presentation for me, though, Mr. Mayor, when you gave out all the stats. So. But no, thank you for inviting us in and giving the opportunity to talk about the GREAT program. This is something I've been involved with since 1995. I got trained, and for the last 13 years, I've been teaching it in the middle schools. The first 6 or 7 years that I taught it, it was while working the graveyard shift. And the way we do it here in Portland, we have multiple officers that are trained, and they teach in the precincts, and a lot of times in the districts, they actually police. So that's one of the things about our program, and it's actually kind of unique across the country. We were the only city to be doing it that way, and it was more by necessity than design. So that's how I got involved with the program. Since 2003, since 2005, the last 3 years, I'm also what they call the Western Regional Administrator. Portland has two roles in the GREAT program. We have our local program, but we're also one of the five regional seats of training in the country, and we're also involved with making policy for the GREAT program, and we've been involved with the program since 1994. We're one of the first major cities that got involved when it went national. With that, I'd like to give you a little overview of what GREAT's actually about and some of the good stuff we do here in Portland. GREAT is Gang Resistance Education and Training, and this is a federally funded program. It's done one of a kind. It's done all over the country. It's actually done all over the world right now. I just had the opportunity to go to Guam, and we trained 24 of Guam's law enforcement professionals in the GREAT program. This is done on military bases in Europe, London, England. The Metropolitan London Police Department was in a training that we held here on the West Coast last June, and they're actually going to start implementing the same program in the schools there. The thing about GREAT, we call it a program, but to me it's not about the program. It's about the relationships. It's just a tool, and that we've been using and other law enforcement have been using for years just to build good relationships, strong relationships with the kids. The goals you can see on your screen: prevent youth crime, violence, and gang involvement. and actually have somebody here that can talk to that a little bit in a minute. And the big one, at least for me as a police officer in my career, is the positive relationships. So often, a lot of us spend most of our career seeing the negative all the time, and you just get a snapshot of the kids in the area you police. But by giving us the opportunity to go into the schools, it doesn't make any difference what part of the city you're in. You realize that the vast majority of the kids are good kids, and they also get to see us in a different light, which instead of just seeing us as something on TV or in the newspaper or pulling a parent over or whatever, they get to see us as people in the classroom. And the opportunity to build relationships in doing that is just unlimited. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of stories of all our officers of how it's carried outside the classroom. It does nothing but support our enforcement efforts, because once the kids get to know us, they trust us. And there'll be story after story of them coming forward and talking to us where they wouldn't necessarily, because we were their teacher in the school. One of the things GREAT has done nationally and has done very well here, it's worked as a catalyst for collaboration. With GREAT, it's given us an opportunity to partner with all these other community projects that are going on that we wouldn't normally probably have done. Boys and Girls Club, PAL, Camp Rosenbaum is a huge one. The Ortiz Center and the Villa de Clara Vista, it's helped us get certain of our enforcement efforts married up with the prevention. And you mentioned Angel Ocasio, Officer Ocasio, and he's the great example of how he worked that area. He saw a need, and the tool he used ended up being the GREAT program.
By the way, I just want to acknowledge the GREAT partnership with the Police Bureau and the Fire Bureau in Camp Rosenbaum.
Had
a chance. Fred Rosenbaum was a very persuasive person, so a number of us have had a chance to go to Camp Rylea and to see the program in operation. And for disadvantaged kids from our housing authorities to get to spend a week at Camp Rosenbaum and to have the men and women who wear the uniform there, what I also love about it is they don't wear the uniform initially. So the young people really don't know much about the backgrounds of their counselors, and you folks put the uniform on at the end of the at the end of the camp. And I think it's a very powerful thing, and I thank you for your involvement with that.
Thanks. Right. And, you know, GREAT has been a partner with the camp for the last 15 years, or last 14 years. I've been going to Rosenbaum for 15 years, and through funding and through the GREAT program, we give in-class instruction. And actually, Mr. Mayor, you gave an award to one of our Rosenbaum GREAT students who saved his mother's life a week after camp. I don't know if you remember that. A couple of years ago, he got the life-saving award, but he was a kid that went through GREAT class. And when he called 911, we had just talked about it the week before on what he had to do because he used his cell phone. And I just happened to be the one who pulled up to the call. And his mother had been hit in the head 9 times with a hammer. And he knew what to do. He got the kids out. But without that, the GREAT and the police and everything, I don't know if the outcome would have been the same. So that's another – I mean, there's so many of these stories. They just start popping out of these kids that have crossed over from us knowing them in prevention to helping out with issues in law enforcement. What GREAT uses is a school-based law enforcement facilitated life skills curriculum. We don't talk that much about gangs. What we do in the classroom is try to reinforce, hopefully, the stuff they're getting at home, at church, with their families, through other programs in school, but we give the perspective of law enforcement when we're in there. And we use scenarios and role-playing to teach them and get them ready to make important decisions when it comes to being at unsupervised parties, whether it's contacting the police, coming across graffiti, or whether they're going to steal from a store. So the curriculum has grown and changed over the years, and the facilitation model that we use now, they say is the most successful. I think it's the most fun. I've taught both. It makes it real enjoyable with the kids. One of the things about GREAT is it's integrated all the national educational learning standards. When we market this, or when I talk to other agencies, that's one of my jobs is to talk to other agencies in the West about GREAT. When the educators hear that the national learning standards are involved, they get very excited. And one of the good things is here in Portland and Oregon, we hit 20 of the benchmarks of our educational standards here in the state. So the curriculum, not only is it a great relationship builder, but it's a very strong curriculum. The areas that we train the kids in, the different skill areas, are all stuff, life skills that they can use later. Personal skills, and you know, under that's goal setting, the decision making and anger management, And all of these are interwoven through the curriculum for the entire 13 weeks of the middle school curriculum that we do. If anytime's any questions, just stop me. I get on a roll here. Resiliency skills, there's message analysis and problem solving. One of the big things we do with the message analysis in here, this is one of the few curriculums where we talk about media and the influence of media on the kids and how they have to make good decisions about what they're seeing on whether or not it's realistic. The show Cops is the perfect example that we use in the curriculum. It's real, but it's not realistic because it takes them 2 or 3 weeks to get a 20-minute show. And when the kids realize after meeting us for that time that that's not, police isn't all just driving fast and arresting people, it changes the relationship. We talk to them about problem solving and how to do it in a positive way. Resistance skills runs through all our curriculums, how to refuse, how to say no. We talk about peer pressure, and we let them know that peer pressure can be a good thing, too. If your friends are pressuring you to join the basketball team and get better grades, that's a good thing. But we differentiate between the two. And then anti-gang and violence norms is what's talked about, what we expect from them, what they're expected from the community, from the law. And then social skills. Communication is big. Every lesson has communication components, conflict resolution, social responsibility. And probably the biggest thing, especially for middle school students, is the empathy and perspective. They're so self-involved that to get them to see it from somebody else's shoes can be a challenge at that age. And that's something that goes through every lesson, is trying to get them, well, how would the victim feel? If you were the victim, how would you feel? So that goes through all our curriculums. And with these, we use examples from our training and experience, the officers who go into the class and teach it. And this brings me to, does the Portland community benefit from GREAT? And this actually worked real well. I got some people that have been involved with it, and if that's okay, I'd like to introduce them and give them a minute to say something about their experience. First, I'd like to introduce Joe Galati. He's the principal at Chief Joseph School. The first year I taught was in Tubman Middle School in 1995, and that's when I met Joe. Joe was one of the coordinators for the sixth grade. Now he's up to principal. But he's been involved with the program almost from the beginning.
I have 1 minute. As you can tell, Sergeant Gargoni is very passionate about this, as I am too. First of all, it is an honor and a privilege to speak before you today. You are all cordially invited to my building at Chief Joseph anytime you'd like to come over and visit. Over there? Perfect.
Four or five years ago, and I had an amazing experience.
It obviously didn't work out. It was just 1 day long.
I was principal for a day. I limited the damage, but I gave everybody on detention got a pass for that day. So I
see some of those passes that have come back over the years. The one thing that I do want to say, and Commissioner Saltzman, your daughter had gone through the program at Robert Gray as well, and I've been with the program now going into 14 years, and I have seen some incredible things happen as a result. Number one, as Sergeant Gargoni has said, is the relationship piece, not only for the students, not only for the staff, the teaching, and the administration, but also the relationship for the police as well. We support our police. We appreciate all that they do, but this creates a new opportunity 14 years now for kids and police to create a bond. And that bond is over a longer period of time. Yes, you have life skills that they're learning. Yes, you're learning about all the peer pressure that exists. But for me to be able to call an officer when I have a question, and I refer to him as Gargon, we're paisans, we go back quite a ways, but to know that I have that voice and that he listens to us and that all the officers do this as well. I remember when I came over to Gray, I was so accustomed to having Sergeant Gargoni over at Tubman, but when I went to Gray, he introduced me to a new officer that was being trained, and I watched the relationship develop and emerge, and that happens to be our SRO over at Robert Gray, Aubrey Robinson, and I have seen how kids hug this guy, shake his hands, and in the community, outside of the building, they're saying hello. The first year I was at Tubman, we took a trip to Canada. The sixth graders went to go. Our chaperones were our grade officers. So it developed that even more. You no longer heard the derogatory statements that sometimes come out. They are the law. They are the enforcers. They're also the friends, too. And they're approachable. I've watched over 14 years the curriculum change so that it becomes that much more real for the students and for the GREAT program also to make accommodations and changes to fulfill what is necessary for our young people to have. When we have our GREAT ceremony, which is very, very powerful, officers come in, commanders come in, chiefs come in. We're very, very lucky to have these people in our building. It's no longer a separation. They're a part of our community. They're a part of our schools. And for that, we appreciate that. The last thing that I do want to say is that for our students, the relationship is key. Secondly, steering kids away from making negative choices. And three, setting goals. One of my former students at Robert Gray is now going to become a police officer. And he's down at the University of Oregon. And I can tell you right now, because of that relationship that was built early on, he's going that way. And so for that, thank you, GREAT. And thank you for this opportunity. And remember, Chief Joseph isn't far away.
I just wanted to say I wanted to congratulate Joe Galati on becoming the principal of Chief Joseph. He was vice principal for many years at Robert Gray Middle School, including the time my daughter was there. And I've enjoyed knowing you, and I will take you up on that. We'll figure out sometime. I'll come out to Chief Joseph real soon.
And I make great coffee.
Okay. By the way, when you were at Tubman, did you serve? Was Paul Coakley there?
You bet I did. I did. Mr. Chairman of the Board, the man who is so gregarious.
I made the mistake of once going to a Blazer game with Paul.
Oh, God.
And Damon Stoudemire came off the court and came over and hugged him and talked to him about it, you know, in the cheap seats where we were sitting.
Wow.
And because I think he was an alum of Tubman. So.
Yes. Stoudemire was. You're exactly correct. So thank you, you guys, and thank you for the work that you do. And I know it's a difficult time right now with the economy, but you continue to hear the voice of Portland, and for that I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I'd like to bring up actually one of Joe's prior students. She graduated from the GREAT class 2 years ago, and just the way the timing worked out, we got a hold of her, and she's also part of the national evaluation that's going on right now. NIJ commissioned another 5-year longitudinal latitudinal study, and Portland was picked again for one of the cities to be part of this study, and one of the students in the study right now is Paige Parr.
Hi. GREAT Project really, like, helped with our going, saying no to bad choices, and it really helped with peer pressure and how when if something comes up and you want to say no to it that you can and you don't have to like just agree with what your friends want you to do. You can say no and you have that choice, and I think that really helped me and a lot of my friends as well. It was fun. I liked it. And
where are you at school now?
I still go to Robert Graham, 8th grade year. So.
You're an 8th grader?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you, Paige.
Thanks for coming. Thank you, Paige. Thank you very much. You know, one of the things that I've always wanted to do, and we haven't really had the opportunity, is try to I've seen some myself, students that I've taught, and just find people later on in life. One example, I mean, he's not here. I guess I should have called him. But a kid that grew up in the Tamaracks, he went to Camp Rosenbaum, and I lost track of him. And about 3 years ago, he called me and just to check in. And he had my old business card. He called North Precinct, and they ended up passing it along to me. But he's now going to be a firefighter for Tualatin Valley Fire Department. But it's just that's the type of thing that normally you wouldn't get a kid call you in my role. I mean, a teacher gets that. So we're getting some of what a teacher gets. But we tried to find somebody that's been through the program here that's actually moved on and is adult now, and I'd like to introduce briefly Charles McGee, who was a 1997 graduate at Whitaker School of the GREAT program.
Thank you very much. I will be quicker than a minute. First, thank you, Mayor and City Council members, for your support, your leadership to our city. You know,
excuse me, I know Charles McGee. I work with Charles McGee every day. You, sir, are not Charles
McGee. I'm the younger, more handsome, and energetic one.
Let's get that clear, because your father is in the audience. And,
he's McGee 1.0.
I've been called many things, but never that.
Pay our respects to your father.
Yes, but of course. So one of the things that I get made fun of a lot by my friends is that I like to use proverbs. For a young guy, it's kind of strange. And there's a proverb that's one of my favorite. It says that a man or woman does not begin preparation for the journey the day of the journey. You begin it years and years before. Programs like GREAT really speak to that. They speak to the preparation. They speak to sort of the little things that we sometimes forget about, but they have such a huge impact. For me, GREAT was two things. GREAT was both prevention as well as probably the first forms of community policing that I ever experienced. Not only did I have GREAT at Whitaker, but I also had it at Fabian. And those experiences were enriching to see police officers in a very different way and to be able to build strong relationships. I remember folks like George Weatherwood and his brother Paul coming out and creating these relationships. Those were the relationships and are the relationships that mean a lot and do a lot for young people. So I want to thank you all for your leadership and continue to support GREAT because it's a great program. Thank you.
Josh, thank you.
Thank you.
And like I said, the timing worked out very well for this presentation. I think you all probably got one of these, I hope. On the last page of this is the evaluation. When I do these presentations, and I've done hundreds of them now, one of the things that people always ask is, well, does it work? And since this is federally funded, a one-of-a-kind federally funded program, they're required to be evaluated, and it's required to show results. And there was a national evaluation, 95 to 2000. There's another one right now. We're in the middle of another five-year study. And just happened to be coincidence that Professor Espenson from University of Missouri at St. Louis, who is in charge of the evaluation, is here. And I twisted his arm to get him to come in here this morning, and I'm hoping he'll come up. He can give you a national perspective and kind of where, a little bit where we fit in Portland into the whole great world.
Welcome to Portland, Professor.
This is the evaluation, Sergeant?
No, that's actually our stats on the back page of this folder.
Oh, okay.
Is a brief of the evaluation. It says evaluating GREAT.
Right, okay.
That's the first evaluation that was done, and we're actually 2.5 years into the second one right now.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having me here. And I guess when Bob talked to me about this on Monday, I was a little reluctant because I'm supposed to be at one of the schools collecting data right now. Pass that off onto a research assistant that I hope it's going smoothly. Unlike Bob and Sergeant Gargoni and the others, I'm not a cheerleader or whatever. My role is an evaluator, so I can give you a more of a, I guess, an unbiased impression of the program. And Portland was one of the cities that was selected, in part because it was one of the few West Coast cities back in the 90s to be part of the national evaluation. So I became familiar with the Portland model, as it's called there, where the officers, as Bob mentioned, teach the program on an overtime basis. That is unique, and it's one of the reasons why we selected Portland to be included in the new evaluation. And we've just finished some analyses looking at interviews and questionnaires completed by officers across the country. And here in Portland, the officers have a... All the officers have positive views of the program, but here in Portland, the officers see much more of an opportunity of promotion, overtime associated with the program, and that seems to strengthen the performance of the officers. We observed over 500 classroom deliveries of the program across the country 2 years ago, and here in Portland, the officers were all rated as above average or excellent. In none of the other cities was that the case. Bob doesn't even know this little tidbit, so he's probably feeling really good right now. a couple of other things that I thought I'd mention in terms of reinforcing. You've talked about the officers and the effect of the program on students. You've missed an important group in the middle, and that's the teachers. And in terms of relationship building, it's one thing that we've seen where programs such as GRADE are taught. There's also a relationship building between teachers and officers. Oftentimes, the teachers are reluctant to give up some of their teaching time, instructional time, to have an officer in the classroom. By the time they've had one or two of these sessions, they seem to have turned around a little bit and are much more receptive to having the officers return for subsequent GRADE lessons. But there's usually when I talk about GRADE and the evaluation of the GRADE program, I can go on for hours, as the officers here in the room know. So I guess if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Questions from the commissioners?
So GRADE's been around since 94 in Portland?
It went national in 94. Yes, it started in Phoenix in 1991, and then in 1994 they took it national and picked up federal funding.
So I was just wondering maybe whether we in Portland or any other cities that have had GRADE have done any kind of a longitudinal study of students that had GRADE when they were sixth grade and how they're doing. You know, 94, they would be 14 years
later. Not in terms of... Actually, it's interesting. Whitaker was one of the schools included in the original study, but it was the class of 95 sixth graders that was in that study. We follow them, the students, for 4 years, from 95 through 99, through their here in Portland, through their 10th grade. We're in the process of doing the same thing right now. We selected classes in schools in 2006. And we surveyed the kids for pretests before the program was delivered. It was randomly assigned. There was random assignment of classrooms to receive GRADE and to a control condition so that we could measure program effect. The kids were then surveyed after program completion when they were in sixth grade. We surveyed them again last year. We're in the process of surveying them this year, and we'll follow them again into 10th grade. That's as long as we're funded to follow them. I don't know if there'd be any interest. And this is an important, lesson in terms of research and evaluation. In the old evaluation, at this point in time, 2 years post-program delivery, we just saw random noise. And it was really hard for us as evaluators to continue going out to collect data for the sake of collecting data. We were very surprised when we completed the analyses with the year five follow-up data. Because at that point in time, we started to see a divergence between the GRADE kids and the non-GRADE kids. We've just completed some preliminary analyses, and we are again seeing divergence earlier. We're seeing differences in the kids who've gone through the GRADE program and those who haven't gone through the GRADE program in terms of their refusal skills, in terms of their attitudes about gangs, less positive for the GRADE kids. We've also seen, this one surprises me, we've actually seen lower rates of gang affiliation with the GRADE kids and non-GRADE kids. Whether those hold out across the next 2 years when we continue to do those analyses, hard to say. But at this point, as evaluators, we're kind of surprised because normally we don't expect to see programs work.
That's good to have one that seems to be working.
So this one seems to be breaking the trend.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Finn.
Thank you for being here in Portland, too.
Thank you.
And I had the fortune, I've been involved in both the evaluations also, just the way it kind of worked out. And when he talks about the Portland model, just something that to clarify for you, we receive grant money. We write a grant every year, and it's a very competitive process, and we've been lucky enough to receive grant money every year. We use the majority of that grant money for curriculum delivery. And because of the way our police agency is set up, from the very beginning, we had mostly street officers teaching it. When we first started this, we didn't have SRO program. We had the school police, which was with the school board, and they weren't interested in doing prevention. They just wanted to arrest. So when we got involved, the only way we could make it work was to have our regular officers volunteer. And I'm about to get into how officers are doing it now, but they're all volunteer for the training. They need to go through a 2-week certification training, which for most of the law enforcement, it's pass-fail. It's the most stressful training they do in their career. non-skill, like not driving or shooting type of stuff, because it's very intense. They're expected to perform, and that's one of my jobs right now is to run these trainings. And if they don't perform, they don't pass. They don't get certified. I don't want them in front of a classroom unless I would feel comfortable them in front of my kids. So that's kind of the way this is all set up. What we're doing right now, and actually there's four separate components for GRADE. They complement each other. They can stand alone, and they go in detail in the handout I gave you. For sake of time, I won't go into the details of every component, but we do all four. We have an elementary component, which is life skills-based. It's 6 one-hour classes, and we do it in the fourth or fifth grade. And it's supported, all our curriculums are supported with the student handbook that the kids fill out and keep. Our middle school curriculum up in here, Nancy didn't know she was going to be up on the screen. These are the pictures of some of our teachers, some of our officers and sergeants delivering the curriculum in different schools. One of the things we've done with the elementary is use it in after-school programs at different Boys and Girls Clubs. Myself and Assistant Chief Berg have both taught at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club and delivered curriculum there. That's Aubrey Robinson in that picture, who Joe Galati was talking about, and he's done the elementary curriculum at Waddles, which is we have really strong partnership with Boys and Girls Clubs here in the area. The middle school component is 13 lessons. That's the one we concentrate the most on. We deliver it to sixth graders because that's entry level to middle school. And we want to get them at the beginning before they get exposed to a lot of the negative stuff. And that's also supported by a handbook. The middle school component this past school year, and actually I'll get to the stats in a minute, but this is one of our graduations. We use some trust fund money and some of our grant money, and the two high performers in each class get a gift at the graduation ceremony, and that's that picture you see in there. And plus, we acknowledge all the teachers. Officer Peressa in this picture, he is our full-time GRADE officer. He's the only one in the agency that does it full-time. He coordinates. I couldn't do it without him. He makes sure the schools are ready for our officers to go into. Fantastic job. And she's very shy. She's not in any of the pictures. But sitting back there is Joanne Omignana. And Joanne has been with the program from the very beginning, working through TOD. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be involved with the program. She's been the glue that's held our local program together since 1994. Joanne, just wave. Thank you. But she's absolutely the glue. Her and Mike right now are the glue that's holding it all together. Here's one of our big graduations. I think this was at, might have been one of the Park Rose schools. One of the things that we do at the graduations, I did this at Humboldt. We try to have a true dog and pony show. If the horses are available, I invite them out to the graduation. The kids love it, and I invite the canines. And the kids just glom right on to the horse and to the dog. We try to incorporate, as conditions allow, as many other people to come in. This is how we've actually recruited some of our officers to teach. They've come. A couple of the guys came on horses to some graduations, and they saw the way the kids flocked to the officers, so they got trained and great. Our summer component is the big kind of one that where we spend a real lot of time with the kids. Camp Rosenbaum is our premier partner. We also partner with PAL, Boys and Girls Club, and NYSP. We reach, depending on the summer, anywhere from 400 to 600 kids a summer in different summer camp activities. And actually, this is Chief Berg doing a summer activity at the Boys and Girls Club. That's the Blazers. That's last 2007 Camp Rosenbaum. We send down every year from 10 to 16 officers to Camp Rosenbaum. This is the classroom. I'm the only one they know at Camp Rosenbaum that's a cop, but they forget it by the end because they get me for an hour every day when I do great curriculum with them. We talk about what do you represent, which is a big thing because Camp Rosenbaum represents good citizenship, and we tie in the great curriculum to that. And these pictures speak for themselves. This is what you see at the end of Camp Rosenbaum. If you ever want to see the effect the camp has on the kids, come the last day right before they get on the bus, because half the cops are crying and most of the kids are crying. And you can't do it without stuff like this. That was last summer's officers that attended camp. We have other agencies that attend also, but the majority is Portland Police. We were the original cops to go to that camp. in 94 that they invited down there, and that was actually through now General Bruce Prunk. He's in the Air Guard, and he's one of our retired command staff, but he kind of got us into the camp through the National Guard. But we have the people that go always go back, but Great is one of the big partners in the camp. Our new component, and I know you had some of them in front of you here in City Council last spring, is families. And this is something, honestly, when it came out, I wasn't sure how I felt about police being involved in this part of it. But once I got trained in the curriculum, and I've done it a bunch of times, it's one of the strongest curriculums I've ever seen. And the ability to build relationships in the family and with the police is incredible. That we're doing this right now. We have more families than we can actually deal with than instructors in Ortiz Center in the Villa de Clara Vista. We have two officers that are teaching it in Spanish. And I think they came in here last year and did a brief thing on it. But the curriculum is 6 weeks. You eat with the families, then you deliver the curriculum. It's highly facilitated. You're not telling them how to parent. You're giving them different options, and you're letting them discuss it. And that's where the strength of the curriculum comes for the families. And that's a picture of in the Ortiz Center in Northeast. We got a lot of good press out of that. Nationally, we're the first agency to deliver this completely in Spanish. The buzz, they were buzzing about this in Washington. They loved it. Of course, I sent all the Oregonian articles to them so we could brag on what we're doing there. And as you can see, this is the whole thing was in Spanish, and this was because of officers like Carlos Pagan and Angel.
Is this at the Clara Vista?
This was at Ortiz Center, right?
Ortiz Center. And by the way, just, you know, we're going to be taking up a report from planning soon on the Cully Concordia plan.
Mm-hmm.
And as my colleagues know, the Clara Vista is a Hacienda CDC project, development. It's in the middle of Cully. And it's one of the better success stories in that area around affordable housing. What's interesting, though, about the Clara Vista is it named, I think, for Clara Padilla Andrews.
Yes, Andrews, yeah.
Is that when you go there, what you find is a lot of Somali families moving into the Clara Vista. So it's an interesting microcosm of what's happening in our community with new immigrants.
We've done a couple things with the Somali families in there. The big problem right now is the language barrier. We don't have any offices that can speak the language. But we've been working with them also. The response to this there amazed me. I've never seen anything like it in the years I've been doing this. The Spanish-speaking families, like I said, they're lined up. We got a waiting list to take this now. And it's just amazing the way it's worked out.
Could you use a Somali interpreter that's not a police officer?
Not really. The lead facilitator needs to speak the language of the parents, because if you're doing it through a translator, you're losing stuff, and it would take twice as long to deliver the program. We tried it, and it wasn't very effective. What we could do, and I'm thinking about doing, is with the families, we train co-facilitators, and they can be anybody. We've had all kinds of people from the community help us do it, and that's what gives it its strength. And we trained a lot of people from Multnomah County and from social services to help with the Ortiz Center. If we can train the right people from the Somali community, we could have our English-speaking officers do it with them, and while they lead it and talk to the parents, the officers in English, which I've done with Angel, I take the kids because you split them up at times and then put them back together. And the kids all speak English. Something we're looking at.
Food for thought. We've got some fire safety issues in that community. As you know, in a Hacienda property on the backside of Clara Vista, there was a fire that took out some units. And we've been trying to get some firefighters in to do some multifamily fire safety stuff. And
we could tie this into this easy.
Love to have a tie-in where we took your lead and brought some firefighters and did a kind of a joint presentation. So
that would be easy.
Let's think if we can schedule that.
Well, there's a graduation actually this Saturday at 1:00, and you're all invited. It's going to be I'll email out the details. It's not actually at the Ortiz Center. It's at a church right in that neighborhood, but we're graduating 6 or 7 more families that just went through the program this Saturday at 1:00. And then we're going to start the next one up in a few weeks.
Sergeant, we have a lot of a very large Somali community here in Portland, and they're actually pretty well organized. And if you would like, I'd be glad to put you in touch with some of the leaders that could assist in perhaps finding some folks to be trained to co-facilitate with you.
Absolutely. Sure. This picture right here, this was our first group that went through at the Ortiz Center. And they got such a kick out of hanging out with the police. And it was very rewarding, actually, because the parents, there's such a gulf between the parents and the kids and the culture that when they got to talk to Angel and myself, and they had a lot of questions to answer, and they actually got to speak to a representative of the police, they couldn't have been happier. Now, just here locally, we have 55 officers that are in all our different jobs through all the different precincts that are teaching great. There's 26 officers that are certified to teach families right now. I think you have a copy of these statistics. In 2007, 2008, we graduated just under 3,000 kids from 90 different classes across the city. The big number right there is since 1994. We've graduated 36,996 kids. So that's 36,000, almost 40,000, or almost 37,000 relationships that have been built between the police bureau and the city and our citizens. And that's the one that really jumps out at me. And, you know, our summer programs, I talked about it. I know I'm running out of time here. Our families program is growing. That's the one that's really starting to come on. Any questions?
Great work.
I think we just have a lot of compliments, Sergeant. That's a wonderful program, and I want to thank you both for your professionalism and how personal it is for you in terms of your efforts. And I would please convey to the rest of the instructors and the family certified instructors how much we appreciate what they do for our community and our kids.
Thank you.
I just want to particularly thank you, Sergeant Gorgoni, because your enthusiasm and passion for this is obvious, and so many of your colleagues, what impresses me about them is they're really, all the things they do outside of their jobs or even in their jobs that are helping to build strong communities. And you're a great example of that. So thanks for your leadership on this.
Thank you.
By the way, my wife's maternal grandparents are Scrazioni from the Bronx, so we have... does that qualify?
But no, you know, the officers, I just want to give a plug to our officers because they've been doing this quietly forever. And it is a thing. It's not enthusiasm, it's passion that keeps them going. And it balances out. I know it's balanced out my career. I'm 21 years in uniform, and I don't know if I'd be as successful if I hadn't done something like this. And so for us to give this opportunity, not only are we building relationships with the kids, but we're mentoring our own people. I mean, it's my guess that the officers that do this go on to have very successful, long, healthy careers because they're balancing out all the bad stuff we do with the positive. So,
thank you. Thanks.
All the necessary bad stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you very much. Did we have anybody sign up to testify on this matter?
This was a presentation. We didn't have a sign-up sheet set out.
Okay, so I thought it was a report. We don't need to accept it?
No.
Okay. Thank you, folks, very much.
Thanks.
Going to move to the regular agenda. Please read item 1469.
Do you want to dispose of the consent agenda first?
Oh, yes, yes. Commissioner Leonard, we've pulled item 1453 back to my office and item 1461 to Commissioner Fish's office.
61, okay, thank you.
And this 53 is a Water Bureau position that needed further clarification.
Okay.
Please call the vote.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Moving to item 1469, please read the item.
Accept the response to 2008 city audit on limited tax abatements and the 2007-2008 annual report on residential tax exemption programs.
This report's being presented as the first annual report to Council on limited-term tax abatements. The report satisfies the commitment made by the Council to the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners in response to more recent questions from the Council. Tax abatements are critical tools for achieving important city housing goals, such as the creation of more affordable low-income housing and transit-oriented development. However, we need to closely monitor these programs to ensure their effectiveness. To that end, I'd like to express my personal thanks Commissioner Nick Fish for heading up this effort to establish increasingly efficient accountability. After a very short time as a member of council, Commissioner Fish has made it known he's willing to address this vital issue, and I want to commend you for that.
Thank you.
Before turning things over to Commissioner Fish, I'd also like to acknowledge the work of the Portland Development Commission's Executive Director, Bruce Warner,